Hello and welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy, and this is brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Let's kick it off with Lola. Our favorite senior citizen is sitting on the sofa with their grown son Ray and Max, her dog. Max has a squeak toy in his mouth, and he's squeaking it. Squeak, 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 squeak. We have an exterior shot of the house. You can still hear the squeaking outside. In the third frame, Lola and Ray are both have their shoulders hunched and they have a troubled look on their faces. And they're trembling from the noise. Squeak, squeak. Max thinks to himself, some noises can be enjoyed by everyone. But apparently not those two. Let's see, Marmaduke. The big dog is at the next door neighbor's. And he's smiling and he has his head in the lap of the neighbor lady, whose husband is sitting next to her in another easy chair. The woman is petting Marmaduke's head, and her husband says, no, we are not adding a guest room. Oh, poor baby. Ziggy, our little friend is at the window that's marked lost and found. There's a man standing behind the counter. He explains to Ziggy, you'll have to be more specific than something in my life is missing. Garfield, our favorite feline, is at the back fence with his girlfriend, Arlene. They're both holding paper cups with straws. Garfield, here's to you, Arlene. They're drinking a toast. Arlene replies, oh, how sweet. Garfield takes a slurk of his soft drink through the straw, and Arlene is sort of surprised at the noise. In the final frame, Garfield points out, ready for the burping contest? Arlene looks at us and replies, and how disgusting. The Argyle sweater. There's a man dressed as a porpoise standing upright in his kitchen, and his wife is at the stove mixing some sauce. The porpoise suit allows the man to put his head through the mouth, but it has a snout and a breathing hole in the back and fins. The man says to the woman, laugh if you must, Arlene, but it fills me with a sense of porpoise. Oh, all right, that's terrible. Baby Blues. Wanda is talking to Zoe. Wanda, Zoe, what exactly did you tell the school I would do for the carnival? Zoe, not much, just bake some cookies. Wanda replies, okay. Zoe, take tickets, work the ring toss booth, man the dunk tank, park cars. Zoe's very liberal with her mother's time. Pickles. Earl is standing by a desk, looking over the shoulder of Nelson, his grandson, is seated at the desk, working on a laptop. Earl, yep, that's the trouble with young kids your age today. They don't know how to do any real honest-to-goodness work. Earl continues, so, meanwhile, Nelson is tapping on the keyboard. Earl, have you got my computer working? Nelson, I'm working on it. Pearls before swine. Mr. and Mrs. Alligator are seated at a table. Mr. Alligator is writing on a piece of paper. His wife, Mrs. Alligator, asks, what you is do, Larry? Larry replies, me buying hunting rifle to get Zeba. Got fill out permit ting. In the second frame, there's text that reads, do you have a history of violence? In the next frame, he writes on his piece of paper, no, but gun should help. In the final frame, Larry continues, important to impress them. You know, Billy. Beetle is standing on the edge of a cliff. Killer is approaching him when Beetle announces, I pulled my back out trying to pull Sarge up. Killer asks, where is he? Beetle points over the edge of the cliff, somewhere down there with a rope. Family Circus. Dolly and her girlfriend are standing in a very brisk wind. She announces, wind is the same as a breeze, only pushier. They're both bracing themselves for the wind so their dresses don't fly up. Bizarro. There's a man with long hair and a beard. He's got his fist raised in the air and he has a microphone. Next to him is a guitar player who's playing a guitar, of course. And the man shouts, "Crush all corporations except those that make meaty pasta sauce." The caption reads, "Ragu against the machine." It's a takeoff on Rage Against the Machine. Ha ha. Zits. Connie, Jeremy's mother, is in the kitchen reading a book that says dessert. It's a recipe book, I would assume. She announces, "I think I'll make an apple pie." Jeremy's eyes light up. "Ooh, yeah. Do you need any help?" Connie, "You could wash and peel the apples." Jeremy, "I meant help with eating it." Connie, "Too late. Peel." She hands him the peeler. Blondie. Tootsie Woodley, Blondie's partner in the catering business, are in their kitchen, the commercial kitchen. Blondie announces, "Some students from a mime school came in earlier to plan their graduation party." Tootsie, "Sounds like a fun group." Blondie, "I agree, but I have a problem with the menu." Tootsie, "What do they want to serve?" Blondie, "They wouldn't say. They're mimes." Very cute. Let's see. Mutts. There's a pile of cat hair on a easy chair in the living room of a home. The next frame shows the sofa with hair on both ends. In the final frame, Mooch is lying on an ottoman, and there's hair everywhere. Mooch replies, "Spread the shed." Rhymes with Orange. The title box reads, "The Audiobook." In the one frame, there's a bed with a child in the bed with the covers pulled up with the child's teddy bear. There's a man in a cardigan sweater sitting on a chair next to the bed. He has a book in his hand. And the little kid announces, "I'm tired, but want to finish the chapter. Can you read it in 1.50x? Computer age, right? Sally Forth. Ted is talking to his wife, Sally. Ted, "Well, we did it. We threw out all our cherished possessions from the garage." Sally, "Cherished possessions we never used, looking at, or even recalled owning." Ted, "But what if one day we need some of those things? What then?" Sally, "Then we'd wonder how our life came to depend entirely on 15 boxes of dead batteries and the cracked slide from Hillary's old outdoor playset." Ted replies, "We are so unprepared for the future." Dustin, our favorite slacker, is throwing a plastic bottle into the recycling bin in the backyard. He's with his friend Hayden, who lives next door. Dustin, "You had to stay after school?" Hayden replies, "I got caught passing a note to my friend Chloe." Dustin just looks at him, and Hayden continues, "I told her until she gets a cell phone, I'm not sending her any more text messages." Very cute. Macanudo. Fellini, the black cat, who's with Henrietta, the little girl in a blue dress who inhabits the strip. He's sitting on a cat bed. He's sleeping. Suddenly he jumps in the air. His eyes are very wide in surprise. Henrietta approaches and says, "Nightmare?" Fellini replies, "I dreamt I wasn't able to take a nap." Hi, and Lois. Lois is talking to Chip, who's in bed. "Lois, you need to finish cleaning your room." Chip, "I can't." Lois, "Why not?" Chip replies, "There's no more room in my closet." And at the end of the frame, there's a picture of his closet with everything piled in and overflowing. Football, basketball, socks, papers. Mother Goose and Grim. Grim is talking to his friends at the dog park, and he's pointing to Mother Goose and three of her friends. Grim, "And remember to watch out for the old fake stick throw." The Other Coast. We're at a bar. There's a gray elephant seated at the bar. His trunk is resting inside a stein of beer. The bartender looks at the man that's sitting next to the elephant and says, "No, he's not rogue. He's just a bit seedy." The Duplex. Eno approaches the librarian at his favorite library. He has a book in his hand. He says to the lady, "I'd like to check this out, please." And the lady looks at the book, "How to Meet Women. This is overdue." Eno replies, "But I've never checked it out before." The woman, "That's what I mean. You should have read it years ago." Cute. Drabble. Echo, Norman's girlfriend, is sitting in a fast food restaurant. She has a plate of fries and a burger in front of her. There's another place sitting with the same food. They both have drinks, but he's nowhere to be seen. She looks at her watch. Suddenly, Norman walks out and says, "Sorry, that took so long, Echo. There was a sign in the restroom that said employees must wash hands. No one else was in there, so after 10 minutes, I just washed them myself." Ah. Mm-hmm. You know, Norman's not the brightest bulb in the bunch. Deflocked. Rupert is talking to Mamet. Rupert. "So, Mamet, the single most important lesson in learning to be nice is that you first be nice to yourself." Mamet turns to Rupert and replies, "Exactly. So I should keep spending all my money on video games and eating cheese puffs until I pass out." Rupert. "That's more like self-indulgence." Mamet. "Oh, so you're saying I belong in the advanced class?" Non sequitur. There's a middle-aged woman with a blue dress on, white hair. She's standing behind a desk. In front of the desk is Danae, the little black-haired girl. So this is her teacher, who she has to hand in her most memorable day essay, and she's pretty much made it up. The teacher. "Danae, the essay is supposed to be about the most memorable day in your life, right?" Danae. "Right, a memoir." The teacher. "Well, this is science fiction, not a memoir." Danae has a big smile on her face when she answers, "No, no, it's imagineered memoir, which is way more fun than anything that really happened." The woman gives her a very withering look. In the final frame, Danae's at home talking to her father, Joe. Danae. "Then," she said, "I put a whole new meaning to pass-fail and began mumbling something about retiring early." Good one. Lola, our favorite senior citizen, is sitting at the restaurant, a coffee house, I should say, with her eccentric friend, Cecil. Lola, "Cecil, you haven't been abducted by aliens lately." Cecil, "Well, I don't tell you about all of them." He continues, "Just the real probey ones." Lola, "I appreciate that." Oh, my. Marmaduke, the big dog is frowning at one of Billy's friends who looks a little scared. Billy says, "Most people call him Marmaduke. I call him Bodyguard." Siggy, our little friend is looking at his goldfish in the goldfish bowl. Perched on top of the fish bowl, Ziggy's parrot. Ziggy says, "Hey, don't listen to him. Me calling you a small fry does not mean I'm planning to cook you." Trying to start trouble, that parrot, I tell you. Garfield, our favorite feline, is sitting in an easy chair watching television. From the TV, we hear, "Welcome to Eating Healthy with Organic Gary." The TV continues, "Today we're having wheat germ, kale, and almond milk." TV continues in the third frame. "Pepperoni pizza delivery, sir." And then the voice on the TV says, and Garfield points to the TV and he's thinking, "Busted." Cute. The Argyle sweater. There are two people standing on the steps of what is supposed to be a drawing of the Supreme Court. One man has a suit on. He's talking to the other man who has a video camera. And the man with the suit announces, "This just in a landmark ruling, the judges have decided 2-1 that the defendant must stop in the name of love." Baby blues. Hammy's talking to his mother, Wanda. "I decided to stop bugging you about getting me a pet dog." Wanda, "Oh." Hammy, "Yeah, dogs are a lot of work. I want a fish." Wanda, "Like a guppy?" Hammy, "I was thinking of a hammerhead shark." Zoe sticks her head in and says, "If he gets one, I get one." There you go. Pickles. Earl appears to be on the floor, and he has his arms akimbo, and he's pointing at the floor with his finger. Earl says, "Hey, look at this, Nelson. How about that?" And he does a one-fingered or two-fingered push-up. And then Earl continues, "I'll bet you've never seen anyone do a one-finger push-up before." In the final frame, we realize the picture was inverted, and he's actually standing on the floor, and he's touching the wall. Nelson, pretty amazing, Grandpa. Okay, Pearls Before Swine. Rad is sitting at the diner bar drinking a coffee. He has his cell phone. And from the other side of the cell phone, we hear, "Hi, Rat. It's me, Pig. Listen, we're all volunteering to take away the junk in neighbor Bob's yard. Can you help?" Rat replies, "What are you going to be doing to help?" In the third frame, Pig is shown with a fence he's holding. Pig replies, "I take offense." In the final frame, Rat has hung up the phone, and he's now talking to Goat, who's standing at the bar with coffee. Rat, "What an oversensitive ninny." Good one. Okay, Beetle Bailey. Beetle is talking to Sarge. "Are you having a March Madness party, Sarge?" And we find Sarge has four pizzas from the local pizza place. He has a big cup of dip, two bags of chips, and two cases of beer. Sarge, who is smiling, replies, "No, I'm just staying here and watching by myself." Blondie. Dagwood is talking to Blondie, who's looking through her clothes closet. Dagwood, "I don't know what to wear to the dinner party tonight." Blondie, "Consider yourself lucky. You've got me to help you." And she hands him his usual outfit, white shirt, suit. In the final frame, Blondie replies, "I only have myself to rely on." Mutts. Earl the dog is standing in the meadow with Mooch the cat. Earl is pointing across the meadow and Mooch is following his gaze. Then suddenly Earl starts pointing in all different directions. And the final frame, Earl points to Mooch and Mooch says, "Earl, you would make a good pointer." Bizarro. There's a man in a white shirt and slacks sitting at a counter of a diner. There's a couple of eggs in front of him and a cup of coffee and toast. The waitress serving him is a chicken. The chicken says, "Trust me, honey, they don't come any fresher." Zitz. Jeremy is driving his car, and his good friend Hector is in the passenger seat. Jeremy points out, "When pulling out of a parking space, I was taught to do three things. Signal, use your mirror, and check your blind spot." Meanwhile, Pierce is in the back seat. He sticks his head out the window and screams at the truck driver that's going by, "Hey, we're driving here." Jeremy, "But this works just as well." Pierce yelling at everybody. Family Circus. Billy and Jeffy are checking out the hors d'oeuvres on a table where there's wine glasses, and in the background, our mommy and daddy, who are dressed to the nines, are having a party. Mommy's carrying a vase of roses. Billy, "Are there any crackers with nothing on them?" Rhymes with Orange. The title box reads, "The New Neighbor." A small house is standing with a front lawn that's very small. And in the front, there's a sign that reads, "Memory Lane." A man is talking to his neighbor across a fence that surrounds this house. One of the men is handing the other a piece of paper. And the fellow passing the paper over the fence announces, "Here's the schedule for garbage recollection." I'm not sure I get this one, but I'm thinking it's supposed to be funny because there is a recollection schedule, meaning they forgot the first one. And that's a regular occurrence. Sally Forth. Ted and Sally are talking to each other. Sally, "See, isn't it nice to have a clean garage again?" Ted, Sally. Sally replies, "What the?" She spins her head around. In the final frame, they've opened the door of the garage, and there's all this junk in there again. Sally screams, "How on earth did this happen? It was spotless just a second ago." Ted, "Okay, you dismissed my elf theory, but maybe now you're ready to hear my spontaneous generation hypothesis." Dustin. Ed and Helen, Dustin's parents, are leaving the theater, and he's complaining, "Two intermissions, I can't believe it." They go to the bar in the lobby during the intermission, and Helen is buying a glass of wine, and she says, "Thank you." Ed, "I thought the stupid thing was finally over. What a bore." Helen, "Ed, Swan Lake is a timeless ballet." Ed, I'll say. Oh, Ed, lighten up. Macanudo. A very thin, gremlin-like creature is squatting on a rock next to a stream. He's wearing only a loincloth. He appears to be the character of Gollum from Lord of the Rings. He is wearing virtual goggles. The creature is holding his hands to his eyes as if he's pinching something. I believe he's probably holding the ring, which is what he sought in Lord of the Rings. Gollum says, "My precious," which is the line that he always used in the book. When he's looking through his goggles, he sees something. He sees the ring, and he's holding it, but it's not really there. It's because it's virtual. Literature comes to the comics. Hi, Lois. Hi is talking to a neighbor over his back fence. Behind the neighbor is the neighbor's driveway, and there's a shiny car sitting in the driveway. Hi asks, "You got a new car?" The man replies, "Well, why not?" Hi is smiling as he looks over his shoulder and he sees his wife and four kids in the backyard and the family dog. And Hi thinks to himself, "I can think of six reasons." What a guy. Mother Goose and Grim. Grim is talking to Ralph the Terrier. Grim, "Where'd you have lunch today?" Ralph, "Roadkill Cafe." Grim, "Was there a special?" Ralph replies, "Pasta prima varmint." That's pretty good. The other coast. We're inside a police precinct office. There are men at a few desks. And out the window, there's a sign that reads, "Fifth Precinct Office." By the way, these are all dogs. A dog at a desk is drawing the rear end of a dog. He's the dog police artist. Two other cops standing there. And the one dog has a black eye and has bandages on his face. He's been beat up. The victim says to the artist, "That's him, officer. That's the dog who mugged me. I'd recognize him anywhere." The duplex. Eno Camino's sitting at the bar with Fang the yellow dog. They're both drinking beers. Eno, "I heard P.T. Barnum was quite the businessman." Fang, "He once said there's a sucker born every minute." Eno replies, "Then why is it so hard for me to get a date?" Norman is walking in the street. He's holding an umbrella. It's pouring down rain. He's with his school chum, Neil. Norman, "Care to share an umbrella, Neil?" Neil's looking at his cell phone, wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He needs a shave. He says, "No thanks, Norm. It's not necessary. According to my weather app, it's not raining." Deflocked. Rupert, the short dog, is talking to Mamet. In the background is Cobb, the tall dog, sitting at a table writing on a piece of paper. Rupert, "Mamet, do you really feel you're ready for the kind of change necessary to be a nicer person in this world?" Mamet replies, "Yes, the old me would have totally dumped this giant cup of coffee over your annoying head by now." Mamet continues, "Sort of makes you rethink my dedication, doesn't it?" Cobb pipes up as he's pointing to Mamet, "Somebody nominate that guy for Citizen of the Year." Ziggy. Our little friend is sitting in his easy chair reading a newspaper. His parrot is perched on the back of the chair. Ziggy, "Do you realize I've been the star of this comic strip longer than Tom Cruise has been a movie star?" He continues, "You know, it could be possible that one day I could become as famous as Tom Cruise. Don't you think so, Josh?" Josh is the parrot's name. Ziggy, "Josh?" Josh finally replies, "Huh? Sorry, the theme from Mission Impossible keeps running through my head." Yep. Travel. Wally the wiener dog has entered the living room. His ears fly straight up in fright and his eyes are very wide. He's thinking, "Where's my doggy bed?" He spins his head around and he cries, "Oh," he says, "where am I going to sleep?" Honey Bunch approaches and remarks, "What's going on around here?" Honey Bunch, "Sorry, Wally, your bed's in the washing machine." She continues, "It needs to be washed now and then." Wally, what for? It was already clean. And Wally's thinking, it smelled like me. Honey Bunch gets a funny look on her face, and in the final frame, she's got him in the bathtub with soap suds, and she's giving him a bath, and she announces, you already smell better. Wally has a frown on his face and says, who wants to smell like a pineapple? That's pretty good. Foxtrot. Paige, the teenage girl in the family, Fox family, is sitting in a bikini in what appears to be the backyard. She's sipping a drink out of a coconut. She calls, oh, miss? And she holds out the coconut and she says, can I get a refill, please? In the final frame, her mother, Andrea,
is pouring juice into the coconut.
Actually, Paige is sitting at the dining room table. As she pours the juice, Andrea asks, would it kill you kids to use normal cups? Paige, who's wearing sunglasses, replies, during spring break? Yes.
Jason, the youngest in the family, is sitting next to Paige. He's also wearing sunglasses. And his cup has a paper umbrella in it.
And he announces to his mother, can I get a fresh umbrella? This one's soggy. Okay. Marmaduke. The big dog is walking through the park with his owner, Phil, who's holding his leash. And they're approached by two dogs on leashes, but the two dogs are really wanting to get at each other. They're barking really loud, and the owners are
pulling on their leashes, trying to restrain the dogs.
In the next frame, Marmaduke has kind of a surprised look on his face, and Phil's walking him down the path, and they're right next to one of the dogs that have been fighting.
As Phil and Marmaduke walk down the path, they encounter two more dogs that are fighting, and the owners of them are trying to restrain them. These dogs are trying to goad each other, and they're barking very loud. Finally, Phil and Marmaduke are strolling along, and they continue on the path.
Again, Marmaduke has a surprised look on his face, and the other dog that has just been in another encounter, he's kind of looking at Marmaduke. Finally, Phil is sitting on the park bench with someone, and the man says, I like the dog park, but don't like the walk here. My dog always barks and pulls and lunges at other dogs. Phil, interesting. I never noticed. I think the point is that Marmaduke's so big that no other dogs will mess with him. Perhaps. Pearls before swine. Pig is walking up the hill, and the sign reads, Wise Ass on the Hill.
Pig arrives at the top, where he encounters an aging burro who has a flat-top haircut, a white beard, and is sitting in the lotus position at the very top of the mountain.
Pig, oh, great Wise Ass, our nation seems to be having some really big problems. Is there nothing we can do? The wise ass, well, the first thing is to stop thinking like that. You're not the first generation to encounter hard times.
In the next frame,
the aging burro continues, so instead of being distraught and whining, figure out what you can do to make our country a better place.
Pig replies, oh, great wise ass, you've been such a good help.
Then suddenly the wise ass stands up, and Pig looks surprised and says, why are you standing? The wise ass, because I'm getting out while the getting's good. So long, suckers. And he jumps off the tall hill, and he's got a parachute. Pig then goes back to the bottom to talk to Rat. And Pig tells Rat, we're going to need parachutes.
You've been listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This has been brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization.